Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here on this glorious Thursday afternoon here in Middle Tennessee. Man, it is going to be awesome weather the next 4 days indeed. Low 80s today. Sunshine. No rain. Like the next 4 days. So it's going to be fantastic. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy the weather. We always enjoy our conversations this time on Thursdays with our next guest, Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. You should check out his work, 31 Thoughts. It's a fantastic read, and he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fantastic, and I can get used to kind of news breaking in the league. I feel like every Thursday right before we're about to have you on, and indeed a little bit of news today with the NHL and the PA agreeing on an opening date for formal training camps. What do you make of it?
Isn't it nice in the sense that it makes our jobs easier?
Sure. Not going to lie,
yeah,
yes.
I like it too. We don't have to search for things to talk about. So I think that the key thing is that I think there were some people kind of getting anxious for a date. I think they were kind of sitting there and saying, hey, like the NBA came out, they kind of know what their dates are now. What are we aiming towards here? What are we working out towards? Like, what's our target? And a couple of weeks ago, the league had sent out something that there wasn't going to be any training camp before July 10th. And then you start to hear rumors. Well, okay, well, maybe it'll be July 10th. And then someone said, well, maybe July 15th. And I heard people say closer to August 1st. And nobody seemed to have a straight answer. So I think what the league and the players wanted to do was just give everybody a target, work towards this. Now, it's not a guarantee. They still have to get some agreements done. They have to get the protocol done in terms of, what training camps will look like, what the game setup will look like. And then also they've got to get like a kind of a, might not be a complete collective bargaining agreement, but the framework to one. Because I think the players want to know if they come back, what are the economics going to look like? Not just for this year, but going forward for a few years. So, I think it's legitimately a lot of hard work. I mean, they are still grinding away, and guys tell me it's a mountain of work they got to get done, and it's only a month away. But I think they're committed to trying to get it done.
We had this conversation earlier in the show, and I just want to get your take on it. Now, we were talking about a different sport, but I'm just going to phrase it, and you can talk about the NHL, and if you want to weave in another sport, if you have a strong opinion one way or the other, feel free to do so. Do you think when it comes time for whenever the hub cities are announced and it just comes time for you to report –
mm-hmm.
Whether it's the NBA down in Orlando, the NHL, and fill-in-the-blank two hub cities, do you think there's going to be a player or players that will say, you know what, I've been thinking about it, I'm thinking about it, now it's time to leave, and I'm uncomfortable with this, and I'm not doing it? Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes, I do. And I think some people will be because of health reasons. You know, there are people who have underlying conditions that they may not feel comfortable about it. I mean, the other thing that kind of gets lost in everything that's going on right now, we're starting to see some spikes in certain areas, right? So it looks like we're kind of heading into the second wave. I mean, people have been cooped up inside for a long time. Weather's getting nicer. Life has been disrupted so much in the last few months. Like, people are not built to live like this. So we're seeing some spikes. And I think that might, make some people nervous, scare them a little bit. Some people might just say, look, I'm not comfortable. And I know that the NBA is kind of working on, through that right now. I'm sure the NHL is too. And I think that's kind of, but I would be surprised if there wasn't one for some kind of reason.
Okay.
Now, the other thing too is, and I'm working on this for the blog today, and I don't mind, you know, just saying it's not a huge deal, but the, you know, in the NBA last week, the commissioner, Adam Silver, went on TNT and he said that they're talking about some restrictions for certain coaches just to protect themselves. And one of the coaches' agents kind of went public and said, I don't think the coaches are in agreement with that. Like in terms of you can't coach if you're in a certain age or you have to wear a mask. And I looked into that today and it sounds like the NHL is going to leave that up to each individual coach to decide, you know, what they want to do. Are you comfortable or not? And so it doesn't sound like there's going to be a blanket rule. So what the players are going to have to decide individually, it looks like the coaches will too.
The NBA is what sparked the conversation. You're right. That's kind of leaked out there that there are players saying that they're uncomfortable. So you tend to side more on Chase's side. He felt strongly too, and I said, I don't see it because here's where I am. And I said, I don't have a clue if I'm going to be right or wrong. I'm not rooting for anything. I'm just – here's where I get confused on why this would happen. If that were the case – why wouldn't, like, nothing is going to change from now until the time it's going to report, whether you have a health condition or the climate of, you know, the pandemic, the global pandemic. Like, nothing is going to change on either front. So if you felt that strongly, and certainly that is with more than within your rights to feel that strongly, to however you feel, then why wouldn't you just come out and say it now? Like, if you felt like, yeah, I'm just uncomfortable with all this, and this just isn't going to work for me, I appreciate you guys doing everything on your end to make it safe as humanly possible for us. I'm not comfortable. I'm not going. Like, why wouldn't you just come on out and tell everybody, your team, the organization, like, I'm out? That's where, you know, that's where I get stuck.
That's a good question. I mean, maybe – I wonder if some guys already know. And they're just – like, if you take a look at it, I think we've had, what, 6 positive tests in the NHL? Was it 3 Ottawa – I mean, I'm talking about players. Mm-hmm. Was it 3 Ottawa, 2 Colorado, 1 Pittsburgh? You know, we don't know any of those players. They chose to keep it private. And I wonder if some guys are just saying either they haven't made a decision yet, or they're saying, I don't want it to be public unless it has to be public. You know, some people might want to be private about this kind of a thing. I would bet that I'm sure some of these guys already know privately and have talked to their teams about it. You know, one of the players that everybody's kind of, or not everybody, but people have talked about is Max Domi of the Montreal Canadiens. He's a type 1 diabetic. A lot of the research has indicated that, you know, type 1 diabetics are vulnerable to this. He hasn't said much, but his general manager, Mark Bergevin, said if the doctors say Max can't play, then he can't play and we support it. So I just think that it's probably a privacy thing, guys, as much as anyone else. I think the other thing about this, and, you know, a lot of hockey players, they kind of try to time it so that they have, if them and their partners have children, they do it in the summer, right? And that's another tough call for a lot of people. You know, you have a newborn. Are you going away for 3 months? So, I mean, and I don't blame anyone. This is such weird and unusual and, as we all say, unprecedented times. I think to each their own. You make the call you need to make for you and yours.
Yeah. Well said.
Talking to Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot is a former Vanderbilt Commodore and minor leaguer in the Blue Jays system. Let me congratulate the Blue Jays on getting Austin Martin from Vanderbilt. You're going to love him. He is a pure hitter. I don't know how much excitement was up there, but we all thought he was going to go second for sure.
Yeah.
When he slipped to fifth, I thought, hey, here's the Blue Jays already with some really exciting young hitters, and I think he could jump right in there.
Well, they're pretty excited up here. I know that. Like, when he said that he was a former teammate growing up with Bo Bichette, who plays for the Jays, people were even more excited. The reaction up here was very positive. There's no question about that. And like a lot of the fans up here, the fans up here are pretty sophisticated when it comes to baseball. Like, the Blue Jays are a big part of our city and our country, and they kind of know what's going on. You know, when someone like Dan Schulman tweets, you know, that this is big for them to get him, you know, people will just jump all over themselves to get on the bandwagon. And one of the guys I work with at the sports radio station up here, his name is J.D. Bunkus. He had a great tweet last night. He tweeted out, I've only heard of Austin, Austin 5 minutes ago, but if the Jays hadn't taken him, I'd be furious. Like, that was the kind of reaction that when everybody found out that, you know, he was, that people thought he should have gone second overall, like, the people up here were pretty ecstatic. So he's got a pretty happy fan base he's going to come up and meet.
Elliot, we've, as you can imagine, we've had a lot of interesting and profound discussions about diversity, race relations, et cetera, the last few weeks.
Yeah,
I recall something you wrote. I feel like it was earlier this season on Kim Davis, who is sort of the representative for the NHL, who they hired a couple of years ago to try to introduce more diversity. Their slogan is "Hockey is for everyone," and I have no doubt the intentions to make that true. But I really feel like it's a challenge to make that happen. I don't see as many minorities coming up through the pipeline as I'd like to see, I guess, after being involved in the game up close for the last generation or so. But I have been nothing but 100% impressed with Kim Davis. She spoke to the broadcasters 1 year, and she was just awesome. But tell me what's going on there. What do you think the league's plans are going forward to try to take advantage of what's happening here and move it into some positive change?
Well, one thing I agree with you is about Kim Davis. I mean, she's got a real presence. Like, when she enters a room, you notice she's there, right? And she's not easily intimidated by anyone. And, you know, we had her on our podcast last week, and actually I'm writing about this today, too, in the notes. And, you know, one of the things that I think that we have more minority representation as players than maybe we ever have. You know, you look around, you see more and more players, whether they're black or they're Asian or they're, you know, something else, they're out there, and there's more and more coming. I notice that all the time. Where I think in the crowds, I see, you know, more and more people who just look different. And I think that's important. Where I think the problem is, guys, is that when these players are done playing, it doesn't translate enough. Where I think the sport really has, and I think there will be a lot of pressure to change this, is off the ice, in the boardroom, on the benches, among coaches, executives, and even in media. I don't want to accept ourselves from that. I think the pressure on that is going to be enormous to change it. And, you know, I think one of the problems is that people kind of look at those different parts of the game and they say, you know, it's not for me. So they don't even go in that direction. Kim Davis told a story about her son went to an all-male school in Connecticut, and he gave up hockey because he didn't feel welcome. And, you know, that's kept a big impression on her. So I think what you're going to see, and yesterday, for example, I had a long conversation with Javier Gutierrez, who's now the first Latino president and CEO of an NHL team hired by the Coyotes. And he talked about, he gave me three stories about where his family, which is Latino, he was born in Mexico and he grew up in San Jose, has a positive feeling of hockey. But I think that's what's going to have to happen. And I asked him if she believed in a Rooney rule. She doesn't. She doesn't think it works, and she says there's other ways to do it than that. But I think it's pretty obvious that the one line she said is, we have to go to the people that we want to attract. And I think that's going to be the thing. I think it's not only growing the game in terms of minority players, it's going to be growing it in terms of, okay, once you're done playing, you can still have a career in the sport. And what is that, whether you're male or female or no matter where you're from? And I think that is the thing you are going to get attacked over the next few years, is diversifying the look of the sport off the ice.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. He joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. So along with everything that you've brought up so far, we've been talking about that. But, of course, the vote is in for season awards, and the question remains, Roman Josi, does he win the Norris Trophy for the league's best defenseman, or is it going to go to John Carlson? I feel like it's between those two. But how do you think this is going to shake out?
It's going to be tight. I got to tell you, like, it's those two guys. And I have to say, the Predators and the Capitals, it's not only between the two players, it's almost like it's between the two organizations, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
PR machines.
Like, yes.
They're going all out. And I'll tell you, like, the Predators and the Capitals are two of the best at doing that. They are both really they're both really proactive organizations in terms of, you know, pushing their players, which is credit to both of them. Those are the two on my ballot, and I have to pick between them. And
do you like that, Elliot? Do you like having the information? This goes back years down here. I can remember, you know, campaigns for Heisman people. Remember, there's a famous story of
100%.
Who was the guy? Joey Harrington from Oregon. Nike put him on a big billboard, yep, to try to hype him up for the Heisman. But I know some people in the industry are like, don't tell me how to do my job. I know how to look up stats. I'll make my own opinion. Thank you. So how much do you like maybe seeing some numbers that you hadn't seen maybe?
At the end of the day, guys, I would want to know that if something mattered to me, and I think it mattered, like, they may not say it, but I think it matters to those guys, because I think if you're a competitor, you want to win it. I would want to know that my organization is doing everything it can to make sure I won. So I look at it that way, and I support it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a conversation I had with somebody earlier, Elliot, Ryan Porth on the Rundown, was, yep, we were kind of making our pitch for, you know, different, the other awards, not just the Norris. And when we got into the conversation about the Norris, we referenced Shea Weber, and when Shea Weber finished second to Nick Lidstrom and the other Carlson, and how, you know, it was a different time. The Predators were viewed, I think, in a different light at that point. Does that matter? It may not necessarily matter to you because you cover the league as a whole, but do you think that now that the Predators are viewed as a contender for most years, I know this has been a weird season, but does that help Josi's case where it necessarily hasn't in the past?
Well, first of all, I think Kevin Wilson is still mad that Weber lost that one. I would say that it probably helps Josi that there's a much greater understanding of your organization, and then it's not just, you know, at the beginning it was not like a joke is the wrong word, but it was more like, it was kind of like, oh, the NHL's in Nashville. Like, how odd is that? Now I think you guys are a huge part of the league and are seen as such. Like, Nashville is a very important
franchise.
The map. Yes. Oh, it's more than being on the map. Like, you're one of the best franchises in the league. In the terms of the way you do business and the way you compete on the ice. I also think that the thing that really helps Josi is, I think, you know, the more advanced analytics come out, I think there's been a greater appreciation for his game. Now, sometimes I question some of the methodologies used, or some of, you know, I'm always careful about, okay, what this number, this stat, what's it telling me? What does it mean? How is it put together? What's the methodology? But if you look at some of the stuff that I think a lot of us look at in terms of carrying the puck and doing things like that, the guy's in another level. So I think that, you know, we understand more about what every player does. I think that helps him. And, yes, I think the fact that Nashville has become one of the best franchises in the league, I think that helps him too. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This is a brutal decision. Some of my decisions I've started to make, I have to tell you that the heart, there's four guys for me this year. It's McDavid, it's Dreisaitl, it's Panarin, it's MacKinnon. I'm really having a tough time with those four. And the other one's the Norris, like the Josi Carlson thing. It's a tough call.
Is this a situation where nothing's going to change, you can't fix it, it is what it is, but where you're sitting there as you're filling out your ballot going, I really wish we had the rest of the season, that they had those games that we missed?
No, you know what? That is totally true. 100, absolutely true. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, for example, in some of these trophies, you don't win them unless you make the playoffs, right? And, like, I've had, like, I will tell you this. I had somebody who called me the other day, and it was about McDavid. And McDavid got hurt a couple of years because the Oilers didn't make the playoffs. He would always get mad at that. He'd be like, I don't care if the Oilers don't make the playoffs. McDavid's the best player in the league. And we would always have this fight. And now he's like, wait a sec. Panarin is in, like, because he heard me mention Panarin the other day. And he called me right after and he says, Panarin wasn't even guaranteed to make the playoffs. The Rangers are the 11th seed. He shouldn't even be in the conversation. And I said, well, can I really penalize him because it wasn't over? And so this guy, he's a good friend of mine, but he called me names I haven't been called in a long time. So I think it does tell you that it's tough and it's emotional. And yes, I wish we had another 12 games or so, but it's not a perfect world, as we all know.
Is he a New Yorker? They can be tough sometimes.
No. He's a Canadian. Okay. But he's just, he always rips me for what he sees as my hypocrisy. And I always tell him, life is always better when you have no standards.
How's the beard, by the way? Are you ready to move on, or are you kind of getting used to this?
My wife is. She's like, she's right. Not even married. It's not even the same person I married.
Well, you're getting a little bit closer, Elliot, to being able to.
I mean, the NHL has a date. Do you have a date? I mean, July 10th is the NHL date.
Was that kind of a big day, a big news for you and the beard?
I said puck drops when it comes
up.
Okay. So we got a little ways to go.
So we don't know yet. Yeah. All right. Always appreciate the visit. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet and the 31 Thoughts podcast, and they do an unbelievable job with that, and he covers the sport like nobody's business, and we always enjoy our conversations Thursdays at 1 o'clock with him. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.